Good morning. You're welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kampala. Exodus chapter 16 is where we are today. We're going to see food from heaven. Anyone hungry? We're going to eat. You know, people respond differently to hunger, but we're going to see the children of Israel complain about the hunger. But when you're hungry, complaining does not help, does it? Does it help? Exodus 16. Let's read together. Verses 1 to 3. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, or Zin, which is between Elim and Sinai, or Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. So this is 1 month down the road. Then the whole congregation of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And this is what they're saying in verse 3. Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And the Lord said to Moses in verse 4, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quarter every day, that I may test them whether they'll walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron say to the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. What are we that you complain against us? So 1 month down the road, they've been freed. The Egyptians were plagued. They have crossed over the Red Sea on dry ground. They have been singing. They had been thirsty. God provided water. God rested them at Elim, 70 palm trees. And 12 springs of water, 12 wells of water. And the journey ahead, obviously, it's still dry, it's still hot. They have a pillar of cloud over them through the day. They have a pillar of fire to keep them warm through the night. And now they're hungry. And in their hunger, they're telling Moses and Aaron, it was better for us to remain in Egypt than to bring us here and to kill us. Don't they know that Moses is also hungry? Don't they know Aaron is also hungry and everybody is hungry? They do know. Imagine hearing that from your child, or at least being a child and saying that to your parents. It's lunchtime and you probably don't see food around. And then you're telling your parents, have you brought us in this house to kill us? How do you like that? Or parents, how would you like your kids telling you, you know what? What is wrong today? Have you put us in this roof, under this roof, to kill us? It was better for us to die in Egypt. Now, we know that it was not a good deal they were having in Egypt. But because they are overwhelmed with their hunger, and they don't see around, they don't see food around, it's a desert. There are no crops growing in the desert. They are anticipating starvation. They have not spent weeks without food, or even a month without food, not even many days without food, not even a few days without food. But because they don't see food in the wilderness, they think we're going to die, we're going to starve. And Moses says, you know what, who are we? We are part of the congregation that is hungry. You're complaining to God. Don't complain to us. And God responded to them. He said to them, I will rain for you food. You will be satisfied. I will provide for you. I'll provide for you such that it's actually going to be intertwined with a test. 6 days I'm going to give you food, and on the sixth day you're going to gather twice as much for the seventh day, and I will see if you will obey my commands. In verse 8, Moses said to them, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. Now, it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Just as Aaron is addressing the congregation, God appears in the cloud. The glory is a form of God's appearance. And God spoke to them, saying, you're going to eat bread and meat. You'll have meat in the evening. You will wake up and there's bread all over the place in the morning, that you may know that I have led you from Egypt and I'm taking you home. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp in the morning. Rather, camp at the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of the dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness, there was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So the children of Israel saw it. They said to one another, what is it? They did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given to you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather according to each one's need. Take note of that. Each one's need. An omer for every person according to the number of persons. Let every man take those who are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. So when they measured it by the omers, there was a measurement in the day. He who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered enough according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, and everyone according to their need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel was called, and the house of Israel called it the manna. And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for generations, that they may see the bread which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is a tenth of an ephah. A beautiful story here, as the children of Israel complain to Moses and Aaron, and obviously to God, about their hunger. Now let me ask a question. Was it wrong for the children of Israel to be concerned about their hunger? What was wrong about their attitude? Did they ask God, just as you gave us water, will you please give us food to eat? Did they do that? All they did was complain. The problem wasn't really the hunger. We all get hungry. The problem is how we respond to our hunger. It's not about being needy. How do you deal with your needs? Do you go around throwing a tantrum because you're hungry, because you need some money, or because you want some water? The biblical thing is to ask. God, I'm hungry. God, I'm thirsty. God, my pockets are empty. Was it wrong for them to long for the meat in Egypt? Was it wrong? Is it wrong for you to think about the meal you had last night and today you're thinking, this compared to the other one, I wish I had that meal that I had yesterday or the other week. It's not wrong. The problem is that that one is gone. Does it help looking back to the meal that you had last week because it was so delicious? All it's going to do is make you more hungry. It was not the will of God for them to long for the food that they had in Egypt. It was the will of God for them to keep going forward and to depend on God for His provision. It is God who has led them out of Egypt into freedom, into the promised land. It is God who is going to satisfy them. And God said to them, I'm going to give you food, and this is going to be proof that I freed you from Egypt and I'm taking you home. And God is going to do multiple miracles to prove to them that He is the one in charge of this journey. And in the evening, quail, these birds, let's call them chicken. The chickens from the sky came to the ground free. Now these quails were low-flying birds. Very hard to catch, by the way. Very hard to trap. But God brought the quail. And there they were. All you need to do is pick it up, take the neck off, get the feathers off, roast it, boil it. You have chicken for a meal. And in the morning, bread. There was some dew, and when the sun melted the dew, there was a beautiful meal laying on the ground for them to eat. In fact, all they called it is, what is it? That is its name. What is it? In Numbers chapter 11, verse 8, we are told that they ground it on millstones, or beat it in the mortar, cooked it in pans, made cakes out of it, and its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. Shall we call it cake? But the Jewish legends tell us that whatever you longed for, that's what it tasted like. If you're craving meat and you ate this bread from heaven, you ate like you're eating meat. If you wanted it to taste like fried eggs or porridge or what, black forest, red velvet, whatever flavor it is, that was the taste you got. And you can imagine how it's described here. It has some seeds in it, as if it had some oil in it. Obviously, seems to me there was some wheat in there, but ideally, this was a food supplement that contained every nutritional value they longed for. Carbohydrates and vitamins and proteins and everything was in this meal. This was the test. They were supposed to gather every morning for the day. It was not supposed to be kept for the next day, right? If you grew up like I grew up, our breakfast was the meal from last night. You remember those days? Most of the time, not even warmed. As cold as it was. They tried to do that. Maybe they were like us. They tried to do that in the morning. They were maggots and a stench. And the point was this. God was going to meet their daily need. Not the need for tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Every day with his troubles. For today, I will take care of you. So for those who thought, you know what, this is so delicious, let me keep some for tomorrow. God had fresh food for them the next day. They tried to keep it for the next day. It did not work. They failed the test. The second test was this. On the sixth day, they were supposed to gather for 2 days, for the sixth day and the Sabbath day, the seventh day. There are those who said, you know what, it is so delicious. They gathered, obviously enough, for 2 days. And then on the seventh day, God told them, don't go out. There was going to be none out there. You know what happened? They went out looking for it. I mean, think about how hunger can lead us to disobedience. Do you relate with these men and women? Or are you any different? When we get hungry, sometimes we become so uncivilized. In fact, completely disobedient to the Lord. And the point of God giving them this bread, not only was it to prove to them that he was in charge, but were they going to constantly look at the source of the bread, or were they going to look at the bread? Do we look at God who provides, or do we focus on the things that he has given us? Because sometimes you'll wake up and they're not there. If you focus on only the things that God has given you, you may wake up and they're gone. What do you do? Then you start complaining again. We're supposed to look at the hand who provides, God himself. All these earthly provisions will only last a little bit of time. And if we focus on those things, we are going to be completely unsatisfied, unfulfilled, and lost, straying from the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, this was Moses' last speech to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He said to them, so he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man should not live by bread alone, but what? But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God led them out of the wilderness and caused them to hunger. And instead of praying and asking humbly, they complained. But even in their complaint, God provided. And Moses told them, this was the point, that you may know that God sustains you. He can sustain you with bread, but your sustenance is not by bread alone. Let's ask ourselves this. You think this life is only because we eat? Are we alive on this planet simply because of food? No. There's a lot more that contributes to this livelihood than just food. And if you pay all your attention to the food that God has created, soon you're going to look like food yourself. You're going to look like that which you eat. You're going to be a glutton. You're going to worship the food, won't you? But the point is this. Look at he who provides for the food. Look at God. And God is going to provide for them for all these years in the wilderness. They're not going to lack food. But are they going to keep looking at God and obeying his instructions? And they are very simple instructions. Can you imagine? All you have to do is take as much as you want. You take a lot or you take little, it's just going to be enough. Don't just keep it overnight. Is that hard? It's easy. Just eat everything, wash the plates, and that is just it. And then the second instruction is this. On Saturday, gather as much for 2 days. On Sunday, nothing is going to be there. On the seventh day, nothing. Whether your seventh day is a Saturday or a Sunday, whichever the seventh day is, there's not going to be any. And then they go out looking for bread on the seventh day. They are wandering off away from the instructions and the parameters that God has marked out. And all they do is find nothing. When they kept it overnight, there was a stench. That's what we get when we don't obey the simple instructions the Lord gave us. All we wake up to is a stench and nothingness, empty. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus told us to pray. You know how? Give us this day our daily bread. That's exactly what happened in the wilderness. And God gave them each day's daily bread. It's very natural. Let me add also, kind of, for us to worry about tomorrow, is it not? We have this ability to worry about tomorrow. And God says, you know what? You know who is in charge of tomorrow? I am in charge of tomorrow. So pay attention to me. Don't pay attention to what lies ahead. I am the one who knows what lies tomorrow. You don't. How many of us know what's going to happen tomorrow? We may make plans for tomorrow, but we do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, the problem with us is because of our finite knowledge, because of our limited knowledge, we stray in worry. We stray in trying to figure things out which we actually can't. We stray thinking, God, maybe you did not think about tomorrow. Let me go out and fight my own way and look for my own food. And those pursuits are completely vain. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 2, God gave an invitation to the Israelites. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what which is not bread, and you labor for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Why do we waste a lot of time trying to eat stuff that do not satisfy? And guess what? We also spend a lot of money looking for stuff or consuming stuff that do not satisfy. Why not just stay within the confines of God's instructions? And all of us can testify that we have blown a lot of money on things that don't really matter. Haven't we? Haven't we? We have. And God is wondering, why do you guys blow your little money on things that don't really satisfy? And you waste a lot of time looking for nothingness, for vanity. Why don't you just stay within the confines of my provision? And I will satisfy you with abundance. Imagine waking up every day and you have breakfast on your table. Your favorite breakfast. And not just for 1 week, but for 4 decades. How do you like that? Imagine waking up every day to your favorite designer clothing and shoes and weather. Like if you had to do a wedding, you don't even have to worry about will it shine or will it rain. It's perfect weather in the wilderness. I'm sure there were people getting married in there, right? And then think about the ones who are dating, if it was happening. Dating in the wilderness. And guess what? It's free breakfast for the girl. Right? Let me take you out for an early morning walk. To a favorite cafe, wilderness cafe, and there is a favorite breakfast. How do you like that? God is calling us to find satisfaction within His provision. The Bible calls it contentment. Whatever God has provided for you, that's which He has for you to enjoy for that day, for that moment, for that month, for that week. You try looking for something else, first of all, you won't find it, and if you do find it, most of the time, it is outside of God's provision, and we will get ourselves in trouble. And this is not just food for their stomach, this is not just provision for the wilderness. This is a picture of Jesus Christ Himself. And he unveiled that to us in John chapter 6 after feeding 5,000 men, not including women and children. And then the people, after eating this fish and bread, you know what they say to Jesus? Please give us some more. Like, Jesus, we are going to commit to following you as long as you give us free lunch every day. If you give us free lunch every day, you will have a full house as long as you're alive. You see, they wanted Jesus to just provide for their physical need, not necessarily guiding them to eternity. And God is not just looking to provide for physical needs. He is looking to provide for all our needs. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. We're not just physical beings. We're not just goats or dogs that eat and eat, everything is fine. We are emotional beings. And we are eternal beings. And God wants to provide for everything. So in John chapter 6, verses 26 to 27, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assured I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because I gave you free lunch. Because of the loaves, and you are filled." And he said to them, he says to us, "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for God the Father has set his seal on him." Don't just labor for your physical needs. There is more than just the physical that God wants to provide. He wants to satisfy you forever. Imagine eating one meal and you don't have to eat again for the rest of your life. And the meal is free. You don't even have to pay for it. It's free for everyone. And down the verses in John chapter 6, verses 32 to 35, he said to them again, and he says to us, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they say to him, "Lord, give us this always. Give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Are you hungry or thirsty just for the physical or for the eternal? Remember the woman at the well in John chapter 4? "Give me that water always. I just want to drink one cup and I'm satisfied for the rest of my life. I don't have to suffer going to the well again." Maybe she was thinking, "God, let's just go and dig a well in my room. If I want some water for washing, I'll just get it out. If I want some water to drink, I'll just get it out. And I don't have to walk miles to get water." It was not Moses who was giving them this bread. It was God himself. And it was not just to satisfy their physical appetite. He wanted to satisfy them for all eternity. And Jesus says, when they're asking, "Okay, God, we want that type of meal that we can eat once and will never hunger again." And Jesus says, "That's a good request. I am the one. I am the fullness of that bread that you ate in the wilderness." Where was the bread coming from? It was coming from heaven. God was the one providing for their physical needs all through this journey. And he's telling them, don't look at just the provision. Look at the source. Look at the hand that gives. Look at the mind that is looking out for all that you desire. Look at the author of life. In the book of Romans, God would judge this world because they worship creation, not the Creator. Now, God knows that we cannot survive without food, our physical needs. And famine and lack of food is a problem all across the world. Some have too much, have some too little. Some have none. But we're not just physical beings. After this life has expired, there is more on the other side. And sometimes we weep and it hurts to see some people starve. And we cannot do anything about it. We cannot, you know, pack loads of food and send them wherever they are. But God is the one who made them. And God will take care of them. And God will sustain them. Beyond just the physical. In fact, famine and droughts are one of the signs of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to happen. We just suffered food shortage in this country last year. Even for that person who does not have food for the day, even when it's us who don't have a meal for that day or for that night, we are not just physical. And biology will tell us that we can only survive a few days without food. God can sustain us for months and years without it. There's a testimony of a man who was jailed in Egypt for his faith in Jesus Christ. And during his jail term, he did not brush his teeth. There was no toothbrush, there was no toothpaste, there was no clean water in the jails. You know African jails, right? Somebody used to be a noisemaker, they took her there, she's like, nothing to say anymore. You know who I'm talking about? But God preserved his breath and his oral hygiene. His mouth did not stink for as long as was in prison. By the moment was released and skipped a day without brushing, his mouth stank. God will sustain us beyond just the physical, won't he? He will. He has not saved us to dump us in sub-wilderness and die there. He will sustain us every morning. The Bible says his mercies are new every day. Every sunrise is a picture of his faithfulness. And great is his faithfulness. Jesus is the bread of heaven, and we have to receive him and fill ourselves with him. And that is not just for a day, it is for all eternity. Amen? We fill ourselves with Jesus Christ. It won't just be for a day. He will sustain us for all eternity. All this physical journey and all that is on the other side when we pass on. And I pray that more than just hungering for food and fun and pleasure and all the things that this body craves, we would hunger for the Lord. Because when the Lord satisfies us, no big deal about the physical. When we fix our eyes on the eternal, the physical don't matter. In fact, in Psalm 23, those things will follow us. Amen? We don't have to run after them. A lot of Christians are running after these things. And we can fool ourselves and run after these things. Just go and pursue God's blessings. They're not there to be pursued. They're there to be received. Amen? They will find us exactly where we are. And they will keep following us. His goodness and mercy will follow us for the rest of our lives. Amen? Do you believe that? You know this food is going to follow them for the rest of the journey? And on the other side, when they get home, the land is going to flow with milk and honey? To this day, you know, Israel is flowing with milk and honey. It's one of the most productive nations in the world. And it's in a desert. Can you imagine? That is the sustenance that God provides. And besides just enjoying all those things that follow us, we will be at peace because we are within the parameters of instructions. Tell you what, there are things that we can chase on our own and get them. But what happens? We look at them and you're thinking, is this all? Like you've pushed and ran after them and then you get a hold of it. Have you ever done bird hunting or bird trapping? We did that as teenagers. And then this thing is like a tenth of a kilogram, not even a tenth, like a 20th of a kilogram, and then you put all your efforts to catch this bird, and then you have it in your hand, and you're thinking, it's not worth it, is it? You can't even skin the thing. You just take off the head, and you're thinking, I can't even get out the intestines. You're thinking, what was I doing, wasting my time catching this little thing? Sometimes we'd actually let them fly away. And that's it when we pursue things outside God's will. We will get them sometimes, but they will mean completely nothing. It's empty. And from one thing, we can chase another and think, the next one will satisfy, and then same old story. But when we just stay, God says, in the morning, wake up, there's breakfast for you, And then you want to wander off, make your own breakfast. You're not going to find anything. If you do, it will not satisfy. And God wants us to find satisfaction in Him and within His instructions. Amen? And He will satisfy us forever and ever. With the Lord in our hearts, we may have these physical needs. We will rest knowing God will provide anyway. And if you're here, you're overwhelmed by a particular need. And it's not even spiritual, it's just physical. Let me say this to you from this passage. God will provide that. Amen? He will provide that. But don't pay attention to that. Don't fix your eyes on the physical. Let's fix our eyes on Him who gives. He will, in Isaiah, cause us to delight in abundance. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much, not only for providing for us, for providing for our needs, for providing for our daily needs, but also for satisfying us. Lord, we're not just hungry beings, hungry for food. We are hungry and thirsty for your spirit and for the eternal. Lord, humanity without satisfaction of the eternal is empty and meaningless. But in you, O God, is fullness of joy. In you, O God, is abundance. In you, O God, is not just physical, but eternal satisfaction. And Lord, I pray that when we need, Lord, that we may not be overwhelmed by those needs, because they're just physical. You can rain down whatever we need in a second. We can wake up the next day and it's all there. But that will not be it. We need more than just the physical. We need to be refreshed by your spirit and to be satisfied by you. Jesus, you are the bread of life. May we wake up to feed on you every day, to abide in you, to rest in you, to joy in you, to have fun in you, O God, to rejoice in you, to obey you, to follow your instructions. Lord, as you meet our daily needs, may we not look at them. May we keep our eyes on you and you alone, from where those needs come from where our help comes from. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.